welcome, welcome to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday, October the 21st, in the year of our Lord, 2016. And what does Open Mic Friday mean? It means you can take over the mic with a question or a comment by phoning St. Louis 821-0850 or anywhere in North America 1-800-730-2727. First of all, I do want to thank those who attended the volleyball event at Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm, which was to raise awareness for diseases of the heart. And funds were given to the family of Zachary Broker, who had a successful heart transplant. In fact, on that very day, his parents were told by the doctor that the body has accepted the heart. It was a wonderful opportunity, and I understand there's the possibility of him returning home today. So, thanks all of you for your prayers and support. And on Open Mic, don't hesitate to give me a ring, as I said, at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to go right to the phone lines. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello? Anybody there? Let me try it again here. Hello? I guess, well, give a ring back and we'll try and get you back on. Yesterday we were talking about persecution and the various levels of persecution. What I want to talk about is somebody phoned me afterwards and said, we believe it was a Roman Catholic officer in the Chicago area, and he was actually a priest, and he said the following: I believe I will die in bed. I believe the priest who follows me will die in prison. And I believe that the priest who follows him will die as a martyr. I thought that was an excellent quotation about what could be happening here as we look toward the future. And we're just going to go to the phone lines and talk to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Pastor. I have a question.
I bet
why
you do.
If you'll not in any way talk about politics and get, not necessarily who you should vote for, but you should vote for the lamb, so to speak, rather than donkey or the mule, or the donkey or the elephant, but why can another Christian station that I listen to before KFUO ever comes on the air, they can discuss this, but, you know, it never comes up as far as, I mean, I know how many of the people believe in the church, Missouri Senate, but by the same token, nothing has ever come forth, and it was brought forth that back at the time of Jesus that, yeah, your politics and your religion were mixed there. So I'll just hang up and listen to your thoughts on it. It's really been bothering me.
Okay, thanks you very much, Marilyn, and we'll let
God
you. Yes, you too. We're members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that have a definitely distinction between the two kingdoms. The one kingdom is, of course, the church, and the other kingdom is the area of secular politics, the temporal realm, so forth. It is clear that as a pastor, the only thing I can really say from a pulpit or in a Bible study in regard to politics is that which the Bible itself deals with. Now, if you've been listening to Law and Gospel, we come out quite strongly against those who support abortion, homosexuality, gay marriage, and a number of other immoral activities that are going on in this country. However, if you are asking us to tell you how to vote, and you already said this, Marilyn, which you agree with, that we don't tell you who to vote for specifically, but there's no problem with dealing with issues. In fact, we were talking about that yesterday, and Wes Reimnitz brought up the point that it is appropriate for a congregation to tell where particular individuals who are going to be elected, where they stand on different issues. Now, can you imagine at the time, and I'll just use this as an example, that in Germany, where individuals who are trying to get voted into office were saying that we need to get rid of the Jews, we need to put them in gas ovens, who would ever vote for something like that? And therefore, the pastors should have been speaking out against that kind of items. But if you look at the New Testament, Jesus, when they were talking about taxation, he made the point that you give taxes to whom taxes are due, to Caesar, etc. So I would be kind of careful when I'm talking about even issues that are not found in the Bible for a pastor to come down on them. I remember when the Panama Canal was sold, there were a number of pastors who were bemoaning the fact that the government was selling the Panama Canal rights. Well, I didn't say anything about that because it's not in the Bible. Can't find the words Panama Canal. And so we need to be very careful. And I'll tell you why. Let's say I, as a pastor, tell you to vote for someone that I like and tell you not to vote for someone that I may not like. Well, there may be somebody in the congregation who's going to vote for that person I didn't like, and they may have the right to do so, and therefore, they're not going to listen to me on other items. If they feel that what I have to say in the area of politics isn't worth their hearing, why should they listen to me in the area of theology? I'm hard-pressed to find very many times that Jesus spoke against the politics of his day because he had the task of talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So while I have no problem, and if you don't think KFUO has been talking about issues, you really maybe need to start listening a little more to issues, etc. Because a number of times they have dealt with the issues that various candidates are standing for. And that's the important thing. If we had someone who is running for office and says that, you know, a black people shouldn't be allowed to drink from the same water fountains that we're drinking from, I think a pastor needs to speak out against that. Now, I use that example because though it was in the past, it's certainly not in the present. Anybody is saying that. But there are issues that candidates hold to that are contrary to God's word. And therefore, in my opinion, I've got no problem with somebody speaking about those because a pastor is able to do that. We just can't give to somebody and say to them, okay, here's what you need to vote for on this issue or that issue where the Bible has not made clear what we need to say. But thanks so much, very much for your call, Marilyn. We will be talking a little bit more in a few days about the political situation as the election comes closer. But you'll see that we'll be able to keep a clear distinction between the two kingdoms. Let's go talk to Cheryl in Indianapolis. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Pastor Baker. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening to Marilyn's question, and I don't know if she heard the program that was on KFUO on Wednesday afternoon. I think it's called Free to Be Faithful. It re-airs on Saturday.
Yes.
I called and asked a question this time because they were talking about the right and left kingdom and about Christians voting. And I asked the question, basically, I've been thinking about this for a while. How could a Christian vote for someone who says it's okay to murder a child the moment before it takes its first breath with a clear conscience, because Jesus says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. And that to me is, that's taking a child away from Jesus.
Yes. And I'm sure there are many people who would agree with you. And the stance of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is, of course, that these children are human beings. And our synod has gone so far to say that the abortion of these children, especially for many of the reasons that women give. I gave one yesterday that the woman wanted to take a trip to Europe, and therefore having a child would get in the way of that, that is an act of murder. Now, when you say, how can you vote for someone like that? The problem is that there's hardly any politician who is perfect. I myself would probably never vote for someone who is pro-abortion. And I'd have a real problem if all of the candidates that I'm to vote for are pro-abortion. I personally probably wouldn't vote at all in that particular situation. Martin Luther wrote an excellent article once. He said, if you're looking to find someone who is going to be a politician and is a wonderful Christian and has his understandings of all areas proper, that, he said, is a miracle. We need to recall that when Paul talks about obeying the government in Romans 13, he was referring also to the Romans. And of course, they were not very fair in a lot of their laws, etc. But in those cases where we're able to obey the laws, then we should do so. But we are to obey God rather than man. And yesterday I was talking about the possibility, depending on who gets on the Supreme Court, there could come a time where pastors are going to be forced to marry or take part in a gay marriage. Well, this pastor is not going to do that. And that's the point I made, that Roman Catholic archbishop, I believe it was saying that I'll die in bed, the next one will die in prison, and the third one's going to die as a martyr, because he feels that's the way the country is moving toward.
Oh, and Pastor Baker, a couple of days ago, I was talking to one of your former classmates of the faithful 50 that remained at the seminary.
Oh, yes.
Their freshman year. And he said one of the good things about that was that it helped us focus on the importance of God's word and what we're doing to get the word out, the message of Christ out.
Well, that's right out of the scriptures. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that there must be heresies among you so you know what is the truth. And when I was attending the seminary, I was hearing things in the classroom that these professors were actually denying they were saying when they were out in the field. I actually, in Michigan, attended a seminar by one of the professors who denied that he was saying certain things about the Red Sea crossing that I had heard him say in class itself. So that gave us an opportunity to, I even wrote a book on this called Watershed at the Rivergate, where I listed the teachings that we were being taught in class, and they were not being honest with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod people that they were teaching these things. So I really agree with you that getting this out into the public is very helpful, for it gives the opportunity for people to know exactly what God wants us to believe.
It's encouraging that there are faithful pastors.
Yes, and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to become an ordained pastor or a teacher, one has to commit oneself to the confessions of the Lutheran Church, and that's why we're standing alone on a lot of issues, except for a few others who are very conservative, such as some of the Presbyterians, some of the Roman Catholics, and so forth. And so we're praying that the future will be good enough for the church to continue its mission without happening to it what's happening in other places in the world.
Thank you so much for your program.
Thanks so much for calling. And we're going to go down and talk to Jim. Jim, you're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Baker. I have a question regarding John 5, verse 24. And what he says there, this is John talking. He says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. My understanding is that we are all going to be judged in the final judgment. Could you explain this a little more? And if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. John 5:24 is the verse that he's looking at, and I'll read that once more so we're all on the same page. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Now, that's not really John the Baptist speaking. Those are the words of Jesus. How do we know that? We go back to verse 19. So Jesus said to him, to them, and he was talking to the Jews, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. All right. Now, if you take a look at verse 23, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent me. And then he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Now, what does the phrase come into judgment mean? You see, you are correct, Jim, that all of us are judged. But when we talk about the concept of coming into judgment, let's consider a courtroom. Someone is on trial for robbing a bank. The jury says guilty. Guess what's going to happen? He is now going to come into judgment. In other words, a judgment is going to be made against him by the judge. But if the jury says innocent, then he will not come into judgment. In other words, being made free is not a judgment in the sense of being punished. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. In a sense, there is a judgment of whether or not you're going to be going to heaven or to hell. But to come into judgment means you're coming under the judgment of God himself for your unbelief. Guess what? No Christian is going to come into judgment because we are free from sin. And we'll be talking about that during Reformation Week, exactly what that means. 22 is kind of helpful here, after 21. As the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And what Jesus is saying, therefore, he as judge will not bring you into judgment, but you have passed from death to life. See, the worst judgment to receive is eternal damnation. And that's not going to happen for those who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. We really always need to look at the context to see what is being meant. And if not coming into judgment means God's not going to make a decision whether you go to heaven or hell, then Jim, you would be correct. But coming into judgment means you've been found guilty and you're going to be coming into the judgment of God himself. That's never going to happen to a Christian. Let's go down the line and talk with Charles. Charles, you're on the air.
Yes, Pastor Baker, praise the Lord for that answer that you gave to her. I have a question, but I'm going to set the stage with the scripture. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for instruction, training, and rebuke.
Second
training,
Timothy.
Training in righteousness, yeah, Timothy. And that that statement is related to Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 7, where he's talking about marriage. So the question is not about marriage, but it's about the concept of what I just said about all scriptures inspired by God. 1 Corinthians 7, 25, He says, "Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as the one who by the Lord's mercy is," and so forth and so on. So, and there's another place or two where it talks about, "I have no command but the Lord."
Right.
I'm wondering if you could, we say that all Scripture, I would guess even the commands that Paul gives, and every one of them, whether he thinks it or not, are inspired by God.
There's two understandings of that passage. The one is when he says, "I don't have a command from the Lord, but I give judgment as to one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy." He is giving his opinion that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. In other words, if you're married, you remain married. If you're not married, because of the persecution coming, that may not be a wise idea. But he has no command from the Lord to say that people should not marry. And so I would still take that as the inspired word of God because of the second understanding of this text. When he says, "I have no command from the Lord," many times the writers of the epistles are actually quoting Jesus himself when he was on earth and he was giving specific commands. Where he doesn't give a command, it doesn't mean that what they are saying is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's just that you can't trace it back to something Jesus actually said. But because the Holy Spirit is the one inspiring it, it's just as good as if Jesus himself said it.
Amen.
So that's how I understand that verse where he says, "I have no command from the Lord." But it doesn't mean that many things which were said. In fact, there's a point made in the Bible that even when the Old Testament writers were writing what they were saying, they were not themselves understanding what they had been motivated and inspired to say. And it wasn't until the New Testament that we found out how that was fulfilled. We're doing a study at Trinity Orchard Farm on Thursday nights where we're going through 300 passages at least in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New. And when you first read some of those Old Testament, you don't really know what they're saying until you look to the New where it is fulfilled. Like, for example, Psalm 22, when David wrote, "He will be pierced in hands and feet." He didn't understand that that was a crucifixion because that hadn't even been invented yet.
Exactly.
So I take that meaning when it says that I haven't a command from, and he says specifically from the Lord, referring to Jesus, that means he is now being inspired by the Holy Spirit to say something that Jesus himself had never said. He's not quoting Jesus, but he's still quoting God, so to speak.
Gotcha. Good answer. Thanks, Pastor.
And thank you so much for calling. And this weekend, I'll be preaching at Trinity Lutheran in Orchard Farm. I love to see any of the folks there that are listening. It's at 8 in the morning and 10:30. We always have a Bible study. Sometimes the Bible study is on the basis of the Sunday school lesson for the week. But we're really getting forward next week, looking forward to Reformation the following Sunday. Although Reformation is on the 31st, that's kind of Hallowed Eve, which is a Monday. The church is celebrating Reformation on Sunday the 30th. So we're going to have some thoughts about that on Monday as we take a look at the readings. And what's interesting about the readings is one of them is normally the Old Testament, but this time it's from the book of Revelation. And there are some people who think that what it is talking about was actually fulfilled by Martin Luther. So we're going to talk about that on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be taking a look with Mark Smith at a Reformation hymn. And I bet you can guess what that one is. On Wednesday, we're going to do a Reformation Insight. Thursday with Wes Reimnitz, we're going to be taking a conversation with him on Rumination Thursday. about a Reformation theme, and then we're going to have Open Mic Friday again next week at this time, God willing. So we welcome you to email me if you ever have a question at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. We're only too anxious to take any of your questions. I tend not to answer your questions with an email. I usually write back to someone and ask them for their phone number so I can discuss with them their question or their comment. So if you want to get me to really talk to some of these things, make sure you put your phone number down and then give me some evenings when you may be available after a certain time or something like that. And I always read all my emails and try to answer them. I'm Tom Baker. Till Monday then, we thank you for listening. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.